Hey, hey, my fellow dream chasers, it's Princess Fizz here. Welcome to another episode of I Have a Dream Show, bringing you multimillionaires from around the world to hear their unique journeys to success, great business wisdom, free mentoring and inspiration. Now, if you're looking to boost your online presence as a small business owner and stand out from the noise, you have to check out my free 10-day course on how to create an amazing web TV show or podcast for any industry. Go to becomeamediapreneur.com and get instant access to the course, and I'll get you ready for launch within 10 days. If you've seen my web TV shows and love my makeup, check out Moonstruck 3D Fiber Lashes, which is the best-selling product by Unique, at ihaveadreamshow.com/beauty. And if you prefer to watch the video shows, then you can go to ihaveadreamshow.com/shows, where there's a library of all the I Have a Dream shows to date. So now take out your notepads and enjoy the show.
Please welcome an amazing, this is actually one of my dreams come true, guys. I've actually made the intention last year for having this particular guest on. He's an eight-figure earner, multimillionaire. He's an icon in the industry. I absolutely highly respect him and follow everything that he does. Please welcome Mark Holmeson, coming in live from America. Thank you so much, Mark, for joining the show.
Princess, thank you. And, you know, I admire you a lot because it kind of take me out of the bat cave and have me do an interview. I barely ever do them. I literally, I haven't for probably 3 or 4 years. And my wife was like, you know, this princess, you really should be on this princess's show. And I said, all right, I'm game. So I'm excited to be here.
I'm absolutely honored. And you know, a big shout out to Shannon. She's been absolutely amazing and just been very, very, she's kind of coordinated it all for me. So just big shout out, Shannon. Thank you so much if you're listening. But Mark, oh my goodness, what an amazing journey you've had. The thing is, the reason I bring people like you on, Mark, is because at the moment, people just see your success as it is, right? And they probably kind of think, okay, he's just got it now. You know, they don't look at all that hard work that you've done, the struggles that you faced in your journey. And you're probably alone at that time when you're doing it. And so I just want you to kind of take us back through your story. If I can kind of just give the viewers a good kind of background, where you're from, what your childhood like? I'm going really back now. So to your childhood years, what were your social environment like? What was your upbringing like? Can you kind of take us back?
So my first home was a mobile home. We lived in a mobile home until I was probably about 6 or 7.
Right.
And there would be an occasional mouse in our shoes. We, you know, there was times we ate powdered milk. So the milk was like the powdered water with milk and stuff like that. But, you know, everyone was poor around me in North Dakota. So I didn't think I was poor. Everyone was poor. So it was just kind of the way it was. But I would watch TV and I'd watch Miami Vice and I'd watch Magic Johnson and the Los Angeles Lakers and the ocean. And I kind of fantasized about a bigger, better life. I really did. I would watch Crocodile Dundee out in Australia, and I thought, I want to go to Australia. So I've been to Australia. I spend tons of time in California, go to Miami all the time. So a lot of that stuff has been able to manifest for me. But, you know, we were rich. I remember when I was 5 years old, I asked my mom, I said, how come we're not rich? Because I just thought, you know, to me, I just thought it was an option. And she said, we're rich in love. And I remember thinking, it was true. It was really true. And I'm not kidding. I wouldn't trade that upbringing because how loaded and prosperous we were in love, but we weren't in money at all. Now the story continues though. By the time I was in high school, my parents were millionaires. They worked from a mobile home into a really 100-year-old farmhouse, and then they built their dream house in about a 15 to 20 year span. And so I saw, even though when I started my online business, I was in a mobile home qualifying for welfare, I knew that that was a temporary position because of the pattern I saw growing up. So some people, you know, grew up in the trailer home and their parents are still in the trailer home, right? So...
Right. So you saw progress.
Yeah, so I saw... I saw progress, and that made a big difference. Now, can you see me okay and everything? You can hear
me
okay?
Yeah, you switched.
Okay.
All right. Now.
Yeah, so you know that upbringing. But you know, lots of childhood impacting, lots of things. The community supported me. They loved me.
You're breaking up a bit, Mark.
Okay, let me think what I can do here, and I might. Let me see if I do this. Is that any better?
That's perfect. Yes, we can hear you well.
Okay, let me even minimize that a little more. Okay, so, I mean, I could tell 1,000 stories, but I had people who believed in me. My teachers, when I was in fifth grade, one of my teachers said, "I could see you be the president of America." You know, so I had a lot of believers in me, even though I was broke.
Right.
And I had a pastor who thought I could be the next Billy Graham. You know, so I had little drops of people that believed in me. My mom believed in me. Everyone. Not everyone, but a lot of people believed in me. Now, I was in welfare, or we qualified for welfare till I was 26. But
right.
Whatever. So that's some stories. I could tell you a lot more about it.
So basically, Mark, what I'm trying to get at is the fact that, you know, you were living in a mobile home, for instance. I mean, that's your environment at that time. Mm-hmm. But seeing progress through your parents, do you think that taught you that the world—it's not. I mean, situations can change.
Yeah.
Were your parents kind of icons in your life in that way?
Yeah, my mom especially. My dad was super steady and solid, and I've looked. That
right.
has really guided me as a father now to be a solid, stable person. But my mom taught me that the world was plastic and it could mold. She showed me when we were in the 100-year-old farmhouse, she pulled out blueprints for the dream house. And, you know, we couldn't even get soda at McDonald's. We didn't have enough money to get soda, so we'd get hamburgers only. No fries, no soda, no Happy Meal. My kids
right.
were the first kids I've ever seen get a Happy Meal. I didn't even know kids got Happy Meals. You know, that was like a big deal for me.
Right.
So we were really, like, I would pay for my own shoes growing up. I'd buy my own jeans. I'd do lemonade stands, work the garden, like, you know, I'd do a lot of things to make my own money. But my mom's, but we were on the poor side, and mom pulls out these dream home plans. And I just like, what are these? Like, how is this possible? And she said, you know, you have to, and it wasn't even like a corny motivational moment. It was like, you know, you have to plan for things if you want them. And so those things are invaluable, and I understand that I had some unfair advantage seeing that kind of progress in my parents.
Excellent. So how did things change for your situation, Mark, then? I mean, did your mm-hmm. family kind of push their dreams in? I mean, you probably saw the whole process of how it all happens
yeah.
at a very young age.
Yeah, I mean, they worked really hard, and I knew uh-huh. I didn't want that life either, though. I knew
right.
I didn't want that. I wanted to play. I had seen a couple families that I grew up with go to the lake every weekend and take trips, and I wanted that more than anything. So I wanted a way to, I just wanted to get out of the life system I saw everyone living. Waking up at 6 a.m. Just grinding out. I just believed, I don't even know, naively, I believed there was a way for me to stay at home. This was before the home-based business even world existed to me,
yes,
where
yes.
I could be at home and be rich. And I thought, it's going to happen. So I bought like Don LaPree's make money at home stuff. You know, I bought Marshall. I'd take my dad's credit card at like 3 a.m. when I was an eighth grader, stole it out of his pocket or stole it out of his wallet and bought Marshall Silver's Passion, Profit, and Power. And I told Marshall and I are friends now, so I told him I stole my dad's credit card to get his course. But my parents saw it on the statement. I think they just marveled and pondered, like, what 14-year-old is ordering make money things on infomercials? But I was.
How did you even know about it? I mean, how did you even know that kind of industry existed? Who introduced you to that?
Yeah, I don't think I knew it existed. To me, it didn't. I think Don LaPree's infomercial that you could like be at home and make money and with checks showing up in your house. That was like, he had this big infomercial thing going on. And So I actually bought the thing, and by the time I didn't do anything with it till I was about. I did another infomercial on. I spent about $300 in about. I was 14, and I bought an infomercial on how to find liquidated items in a warehouse and sell it to another warehouse for a gain. Oh, so I bought this $200 product, and I'm calling at 14 years old, calling warehouses all over the country, finding like unused items, and then they said, "Now all you got to do is find a buyer." So there was this aprons. There was like some hospital aprons in this warehouse, and so I started calling hospitals and, "Hey, I got these aprons. They're only $6 each, you know, and there's 2,000 of them. And if you close the deal, you make a few grand." Well, anyway, so I did it for 30 days, and it I didn't make it work, so I got a refund on it. But, you know, I was not going to live a normal life. There was no freaking way. It was just not me going to work, coming home, being broke forever. That just was not in the cards for me, even though that was my reality for years, for many, many years.
Right. Now, my question to you, Mark, at this point is, does entrepreneurism come naturally? Or does it something that you learn?
You know, I think it's. You know, I think it's in different people have a. You know, I think it's a disease. Personally, I wish there are times. You know, I have a lot of friends. Like, I don't only associate with entrepreneurs. I have normal friends that drive bread trucks and are teachers, and you know, I'm a community guy and whatever. And you know, these people in their DNA get up, go to work. Watch football, go to Applebee's and eat wings, love their kids, coach the T-ball team, save money, retire at 65, and they're fine. You know, and God bless them. That's awesome. Me, that just wasn't in my DNA. I couldn't do it. I would not be able to do that. I like a wide open canvas to paint my future. You know, and not everyone does, and it's its own burden. Right? It's its own burden. I mean, come on. So to me, not everyone is designed to be an entrepreneur. I might be. I don't know. Maybe. I think I am. I think I'm designed for it.
Excellent. So what are the traits of being an entrepreneur, Mark? I mean, how would you kind of say, like, you know, when you meet people, you can probably pick it up right away.
Right.
Who's got the drive and who isn't. Yeah. So what kind of things kind of highlight the fact that, yes, this person's got it?
Yeah, I don't know. The older I get, just the less I know. Like, I can tell sometimes, but at the same time, I don't know if someone's got it or not. I really don't. Right. Like, I think the starting point is a desire for freedom, right?
Right.
Or a desire for unlimited wealth. Like, there's entrepreneurs who the end game is more money in their bank account. That's not my game, right? So my end game is freedom. I mean, it's 10:30 right now. I just got done working out. I'm probably gonna golf in a little bit. I know I do deal with more problems and heavier problems and more exposure and more issues. And I make more decisions in a week than a lot of people make in a year. And they impact thousands of people. So I bear things. So I deserve to do the shit I do, you know? But, I think for an entrepreneur, the starting point is independent drive, right? I just work better. I work better collaboratively and not subordinately, right? Mm-hmm. But when I was a worker, I worked in a factory, and my manager said I was the best employee he'd ever seen in his whole life. So I'm not above, you know, being an employee or anything. And when I was, a lot of times I was told I was the best employee they'd ever met. When I worked for another boss, you know, after 3 years, he said, you're the best human I've ever met. You're the best human being I've ever met. So I think I had, and now I'm not, just so you know, that's just what others said. I'm not that great. But
you are.
Thank you. But the gist of it is, for me, being an entrepreneur, it was just like, I wanted a different model. I saw the light for, you know, the internet to me just lit me on fire. I saw it was a dawning of a brand new era, an era that people don't even know is here yet. Like, there's thousands of us now. When I got started, there was a handful of us. There weren't even courses to buy. There weren't courses to buy on how to do online marketing. They didn't even exist. So when we did our one of our first ones with Jonathan Budd, people didn't even, that was like one of the first things people could buy. So everyone bought it, right? So I came in at a time where nobody, you know, we were innovative to make an info product. It was funny.
I went on a new era, yes.
Yeah, so anyway.
Do you think, Mark, it's because of that kind of trait you have of just not being satisfied and just wanting more, exploring, you know, that natural kind of trait to explore and explore and explore. Do you think that's why you kind of ended up at the right place at the right time?
You know, I don't know. I think for me, part of it was I had seen... My kids were about, my oldest was 4 and I had 4 kids. And they were like 4, 3, 2, 1. Like it was, I had 3 kids at the time. He was 4 or 5 and we were living in a mobile home. And in the little location we were at, the school he was going to go to was a piece of crap. And I realized, you know, I don't have control over my life. Like I can't send him to a good school. And my wife, like she came home and she said, Mark, look, you know, I got my hair done, and I said, and my first question is, how much did it cost? Like, how did you do that? Because we don't have any money at all. Like, we don't have any money, and it was $60, and I probably had a cardiac arrest. And I literally yelled at my wife. Now, today, she gets pedicures, manicures, all everything in the book all the time, 24/7. I love it. But at the time, it caused me, like, a cardiac arrest. So I'm realizing my wife, you know, I'm an asshole to my wife. My kids are going to this crap school, and I'm thinking to myself, this is just not okay anymore. So I'm going to create...
How many years ago was this?
Seven years ago.
Right, yeah. Okay.
Which goes by fast, you know.
Yes.
Goes by very fast. But I realized I didn't have control over my life, and I couldn't do the things I wanted to do. I couldn't see the things I wanted to see. And instead of, like, blunting my heart down to have my budget dictate my life, I decided to have my heart dictate my life. And that's the biggest thing, if anyone can take away, is you learn to have your budget submit to your heart, and you learn to lead with your heart. You learn to let your heart set every parameter that you want for your life. And then you let your resources catch up to your heart. You don't blunt your heart, shrink it till it's a tiny little prune where you're not doing anything you want to do. You're not experiencing anything. You're not being able to give anything you want to give. You can't bring any game. And you're sitting there because there's a lot of reasons why people do that. But anyway, for me, it was I wanted to follow my heart and let my money catch up to it.
So
that was for me.
And are we talking about like being open to giving? I mean, because the first thing of abundance is being able to kind of let go of that lure of money. Because I think when you hold on to money, it doesn't like being trapped into bank accounts. I did a post on this. I did a little bit of research on this because it's energy. It keeps wanting to flow, right? Yeah. So are you saying in the fact that you need to kind of just let it go?
Well, yeah, I mean, there's another theory is that its gravitational pull increases as it's stored in a bank account. So I believe you can have plenty in a bank account, plenty given, you know, one, like there's an ancient proverb that says, you know, one man who waters others waters himself. So it's like he's the most giving guy, but he's the most watered. He waters the most, but he's getting the most water. It seems weird. And there's another who holds back, but he comes to poverty. So it doesn't even make any sense. Like one guy tries to hoard to keep the money, he loses it. One guy's open-handed and he gets the whole world. So, but giving, you know, economically, I think if you can provide something that people are willing to trade a few dollars to gain, and you just you figure out that equation, people will pay to alleviate pain or mental pain or... You know, lead pain if they don't have leads. That's a pain to not have leads, so they'll trade money to get leads or techniques on leads. So I just kind of figured out the math on some things, and, you know, off we go.
Done exceptionally well.
Yeah. You know, and I'm still, you know, and I'm still in the process. My problems today are hundreds of times bigger than they were when I started. Because there was nobody at stake. I mean, it was me, my wife, and a few kids. And at the time, that was a big deal to me. And now there's, you know, I have thousands. We send out amongst different companies 500,000, you know, few hundred thousand to, you know, I've sent out 500,000. I've sent out 2 million in a month to people paid, you know. So this, you know what I'm saying? Like, my life is bigger than my own life, kind of thing. So it's, you know, it's not like I'm on a beach 24/7. I'm deeply in the game.
Yes. It's more responsibility, isn't it? The more money you have, the more responsible that you become. But that's absolutely right. So, I mean, Mark, you came in the information age. I mean, you're the co-founder of ILN, it's Internet Lifestyle Network. Yeah. Why did you actually even, whose idea was it first?
That was
why did you even form?
Peter Vince Ortega. I had nothing to do with that deal. You know, he came and he said he was going to start a company, and him and Clifton, and I said, well, I'll take a look just as a friend, because, you know, Vince was my top affiliate in my travel company at the time, and he was doing 30 to 50,000 a month. He was doing well. And he said, I want to start this company. And I said, well, I've seen a lot of companies start. Why don't you let me take a look at what you're going to do? So I just said, well, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't do it like that. Don't do that. That doesn't work. Don't do that. That doesn't work. Don't get rid of that. Do this. If you do that, you're going to have to this. Like, because I've seen a lot of those things happen.
You have the experience, yeah.
So I kind of came on board with some of my products as the, you know, the higher end product line. And I didn't think anything would happen with it. And Vince is very driven. Clifton is very driven. Those guys work 16, 20 hours a day, it seems, and they just kept driving the idea forward, driving it, and I was just surprised every month. And then we hit like 700,000 that in a month, and then I was like, okay, I better pay attention to this deal now.
So what kind of solutions were you giving to what problems? Because obviously you've had the experience
with Vincent or with the typical user in ILN. With Vincent?
Yes.
Okay. So the biggest, you know, just this is back in the old days. They were going to do a very service-based model where almost like someone buys and then they can pick from a mall of things, many, many different levels, many different services, many different this and that. And fulfilling services is very time-consuming. And if you fulfill services, the bigger you grow, the worse your service providers become at fulfilling it. And it bogs down and clogs down. So I said, that can't scale. So we basically added, we just took it to a simple 2 membership system, a $37 and a $95. Right. And I said, only offer that because, you know, if you make cash, $30,000 a month residual is worth $80,000 hard drive and direct response. You don't know what's going to happen next month. $30,000 every month that you know is going to just click. So we built the whole company on continuity, and versus we were high ticket before. And you might make $50,000 one month, but you might make $12,000 the next. And I said it's a chaotic stress environment to live like that. So I said let's build a completely continuity model, and then we added a $250 level, and then that quantum changed the game for our affiliates and ourselves. And we still have a lot of problems, challenges that we are overcoming as we speak. After I get off this, I'll be only dealing with problems. Problems are the biggest money maker. Problems and prosperity are hand in glove, right?
Why?
Most people fear problems, so they try to live in a problem-free environment. I actually, you know, what you want to do as an entrepreneur is say, where's the stress? Where's the pain? Where's the problem? Where's the slow? Where's the strife? Where's the heartache? Then you dive into those waters. No one wants to go into those waters. So you're kind of alone. And so you can just create better solutions and the whole world will come to you. Because most people fear the problem. They run away from problems.
Run away from it. So with these problems, Mark, I mean, how do you feel if you didn't have them? What situation would you be in today? I mean, do you feel the growth within after handling the problems?
Yeah, I feel a lot of, define the question again so I can answer it better.
You know, say for instance you didn't go and face these problems head on.
Yeah.
Would you feel a difference in your personality today? I mean, has it caused some sort of growth in you facing them, if you see what I mean?
Well, I mean, I think it'd be hard to answer that question because every time you can solve a problem, you know, every blessing is disguised as a problem. I mean, that's just how it is. So every blessing, like every single one of them, is behind some kind of wrestle match, right? So in the ancient scripture in Genesis, Jacob is wrestling with God. He's wrestling, and God is he's wrestling for a blessing. And he finally pins God down, and God gives him the blessing, right? I think that, and that's the motif for my spiritual life. So a wrestling match with the world, with the problem, let's go, let's do it, because there's a huge blessing on the other end of it. And most people aren't up for the game. They aren't up for the wrestle. I mean, some people, I mean, they're not even going to wrestle past, you just, what's your wrestle factor? How much are you willing to wrestle? The more you deal with, the more you can confront problems, and that's where that's problems in your own life, in your own psyche, in your own thinking, and I mean, there's just so much reward on that other side. But then as soon as you get to the other side, there's a bigger problem to fix, so. I don't even care, but problems to me, even the word, I get a little excited.
Right.
I mean,
like, the challenges, right?
Yeah, the word challenge, problem. I don't care what word we call it. It's still something that's kind of unpleasant. But you can get comfortable in a state of discomfort a little bit, and you can prosper in all this. So it's not like this horrible grind either. But there's moments that it's pretty intense.
Right. But there's always something going on, isn't there, Mark? I mean, even if the most intense problem, it plants a seed of opportunity as well, within you as well. I mean, you grow that much more when you kind of face the suffering, right?
Yeah.
So it's just amazing. I mean, this is why you are the way you are today. I mean, it's just absolutely extraordinary.
Thank you.
I know we've got very, very short time, Mark. I'm kind of whizzing through to get as much out of you as possible. But there's something that very, very interesting that I've come across with your work is the Solomon theory and how you actually apply this ancient kind of figure into your own life and use the laws to get to where you are today. So could you kind of just tap into that a little bit?
Yeah.
I know it's going over the time a little bit, but
just
very, very quickly.
Well, it's an honor. I mean, thank you for noticing that. And really the real core is I had my whole framework of thinking was changed through Solomon. When I started my business, I didn't have any business mentor. I was the first six-figure earner I knew. You know what I mean? Like, I just didn't see that. But I knew the Book of Proverbs, and I would classify the business ones with a B. Just put a B by the verse. And then when I went into business, I was like, I don't have any mentors, but I'll go back and just open that book, and I'll read every B verse. But what I'd do is I would visualize in the theater of my mind so vividly that each of those verses manifest for me. With just a kind of total faith in that I didn't really, beyond what I even believed, just that it was going to happen. So, like, for instance, there's a verse that says, the people curse whoever holds back the grain, but there's a blessing that covers the head of him who sells it. So I imagined that verse in my life, and I said, okay, for me, people curse whoever holds back the grain. So the people want the grain. What do people want? So for me, it was travel at the time. That was my core product. And I was like, people really, they need to know about my product. Like, it's if they like travel, they're cursed if they don't have my thing. Not everybody, but this certain kind of avatar buyer.
The need.
Yeah, that's, and the same with information marketer. Like, and if someone's starting out as an information marketer, and this is the conviction I come from, where we can sell $3 million of stuff in a week, is I know, like with Irresistible Info Blueprint, that if someone wants to be an information marketer and they don't have like my blueprint that I made 8 figures in like 4 years, they're cursed. They're going to buy insufficient information. They're going to buy worse information, and that information is going to throttle them down, and they're going to waste time. They're going to earn less money. It's like, it's a curse. So when I had the Info Blueprint idea, we did $1 million in 7 days with that idea. I literally, like, we were caught in an almost tornado with my whole family. I had all 4 kids, Shani and the dog, and semis are tipping over on the road. And it's a week away from the launch of the blueprint. This was a few years ago. And I remember thinking to myself, oh my gosh, if I don't get out of this storm, there's going to be thousands of people that don't get the blueprint. Like, they need this blueprint. I need to survive to bring the world the blueprint. Literally, like, that's where I was. So a week later, we made $1 million. And it wasn't the $1 million driving me, though. It was the people need the blueprint. They're cursed. Information people that don't have this info are cursed. And so in with the Solomon, I would imagine the people curse whoever holds back the grain. So if you have something good and you're holding back, they might not be actively cursing you, but they're cursed in that area at some level. And it says, but a blessing covers the head of him who sells it. And a blessing in the ancient Hebrew is like oil that would drip down the whole body, and it was signified prosperity, peace, God's blessing, the whole thing. So I imagine me selling and selling and selling and selling and selling and selling and selling, and people thanking me for buying after they bought. Thank you, instead of cursing, blessing me. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And I imagine my whole life, from the head of my toe, from the head of my, you know, top of my head to the bottom of my foot, I saw new clothes on me. I saw new vehicles that my family was in. I saw a new home. I saw new vacations. I saw a comprehensive blessing covering my entire life. And, you know, I'm 36 years old. I just literally just an hour ago ran the fastest mile I've ever ran, which was about 6 minutes and 50 seconds, which isn't crazy, but I'm not a runner. So it was like I'm feeling this blessing, right? I'm hopping into a brand new, like $90,000 Escalade when we get off this deal. I'm talking with you. How great is that? Friends all over the world. I'm in North Dakota in the summers. I'm in Phoenix in the winters. Like, that was my dream when I was 65. I'm 34. I've started that retirement kind of lifestyle at 30. I was 30. I mean, but I visualize that stuff so real that eventually it tricked me into having it happen, I guess. But that was just one verse. I mean, I did it with every verse.
This is a law, isn't it, Mark? I mean, this is philosophical ideas by leaders that have got, like, hidden knowledge in a way. Because the thing is, we read the surface of words, right? Yeah. But the inner meaning, the deeper meaning, they know. So I think what you've done is actually gone beyond the surface and actually really, really used that, those words, and actually applied it and understood the law of that act. So it's just very amazing. Very, very few people do that.
Well, thank you for picking up on that. It is crazy. I had a best-selling author, and he's a millionaire guy, and he said, you know, Mark, I don't get why people buy this Solomon so much. I mean, we sell millions of dollars of this thing. And they said, I don't know why people buy it, because, you know, it's right there in the Bible for free. And pastors preach it every Sunday. You know, there's someone teaching on Solomon every Sunday all over the world. I don't get why people pay so much money. And I said, you know, the difference in information marketing, and this is big if anyone wants to do information, is that people don't pay for information. They pay for new results, right? So I'm a result creator for people. And I create a knowledge technology that manifests in a result. And I say people will pay anything for new results. They don't want to know about Solomon. They want to know how to obtain that. They want to know how to sell so they can get the blessing. And they want to have their buyers happy. So when I see my buyers, I would visualize the buyers racing up and hugging me, thanking me for my work. And there's not a week that goes by that I don't get very, very heartfelt thank yous in my inboxes, on my Facebook wall, on my, you know, my cell phone. And when I'm at a live event, you know, I just spoke at Ray's event, Ray Higdon, a month or so ago. And it was really crazy because I walked out with my wife. There's probably 225, 250 people maybe. And I walk out and I haven't said a word yet, and the entire place is standing in an ovation. And I haven't spoken. I haven't said a word. And I got up there and I just looked around and I was like, wow, this is what I visualized. Exactly. Actually, that was way bigger than I visualized. I just visualized buyers not hating me and just saying, hey, thanks for selling me that. That was cool. I didn't imagine like hundreds of people standing ovations for the work that I've contributed to their businesses. That really blew me away. And thank Ray Higdon. Ray Higdon created that moment for me. So thank him for that too. But
Ray Higdon is absolutely amazing as well. We've had him on the show and he's just delivered.
He's actually the reason I was game to do this princess, because I get asked, you know, to be in books and to be all the time, never ending. And I just say no to everything because it's easier to say no than to say yes. But Shani, my wife, said, you know, well, Ray was on Princess's show. And I said, okay, if Ray was on it, I'll do it.
Oh, God. That's wonderful. I thought it was maybe because of Lisa.
Ray is what she told me. But Lisa, I love Lisa so much.
Lisa Gossman is just an amazing person. Yeah. You know, she was just the heart of gold. But she's been an amazing contribution on the show as well. So, Mark, I mean, I know we're going a little bit over time. Are you okay for a few minutes more?
Let's do it. I'm having a great time.
Are you having a good time? Excellent. Good time. I told you.
I know. You got me.
45 minutes aren't going to, but... Yeah. Excellent. So, Mark, can we just talk about sales in general? I mean, I think the misconception is a very dirty kind of game. I mean, it is. It's the way that sales is perceived. You know, right. We see car salespeople, and you just think they're the gruesome type. They're going to sell you something. It's all for gain. What is your message to eliminate that and kind of get people to understand what sales really is?
Yeah, well, I think...
And how to understand it.
Well, here's what I say. I would say a lot of people can't unleash their prosperity, because at the core of them, they can learn sales techniques, but if they don't believe what they're selling is awesome for the buyer and that the buyer wins, they're going to throttle back because they have integrity. So, you know, for me, the biggest thing, like the first year that I made roughly like $50,000-$60,000, which was pretty good. And I didn't really believe in what I was selling. I kind of did. And I told the buyers, I said, you know, this product, you're just buying this to make money and it's okay. And I didn't really believe in it a whole lot. But the second year I made in my pocket about $500,000 cash in one year to the next, 10 times. Well, a lot more than 10 times actually, because that was profit. And what happened was I found something I knew was better for people. I had no inner heart issue with selling it. And so with Solomon, for instance, like if you're an entrepreneur, Solomon, you know, like, I mean, I could show you on my screen, like every day, what it does for people and their incomes over and over and over and over and over and over. I sell that thing with no qualm at all to any entrepreneur. And so there's no, you know what I mean? Like, it's like if I was selling something I didn't believe in using sales techniques, I would feel dirty, and I probably should, because then I'm using tactics, right? Because it's just like a relationship. There's elements, there's a science to relationship. You can take the science of relationship and apply it to someone to manipulate them, just like sales. There's a science to selling. It's a very it's so scientific. That's how we can do it online, is it's a science. But if you apply that and you apply it to something that people don't win when they purchase. So could I get their money?
That's what I was about to say. Right. The motive matches
Could I get their money and then them say, damn, I got a deal. I stole that.
Right. Over deliver.
Yeah. So I think the key with selling, number one, is really having something that you're proud of and that you know is a great solution at a price that you believe is fair and good. And I remember when I bought my first company, my vice president, we were selling a travel product for $3,000, and he said, in this economy, I don't know why anyone would buy this anymore. I mean, it's just too expensive. I fired him the next day. I said, I can't have your energy in my office. It just can't exist. I'm sorry, you're done. So, but he didn't, and that's no big deal. Like, he was congruent that he didn't believe in the product. But that's not the energy I wanted, because I believed in the product, and so we've sold millions of it. But I think the key with selling is knowing first, and then actually getting good at the science. Because once you're good at the science, it's over. Like, it's over.
Excellent. So when I researched you, Mark, I mean, you started with no contacts. I mean, you've got this product that you believe in, right? You know that you've got a solution to help people. Right. So how did you communicate this message? I mean, how was the reaction of people when they don't know you?
You know, for me, if you want to go back to the, you know, beginning, I did a, I did a 6-day water fast. I didn't eat any food for 6 days. I just drank water. Part of that was to save money because we didn't have any. No, but but I went on a quest, an internal quest, to find out what to do because I didn't have any money, and I had a pregnant wife with our, that might have been our actually our third kid at the time. But I didn't know what to do, and my body just said, don't eat. Like, I just felt compelled to fast, right? So on day 5 of this fast, though, I have an idea, and I'm not saying God gave me the idea or whatever, but there was a flash in my mind to get myself on video. And at that time, it was 2006, okay? So this is coming up on 8 years from this idea. 8 years is when I started all this, I guess. Wow, that went fast. 8 years, wow. But no one was on YouTube. No one was on YouTube. And my computer couldn't even load video onto YouTube. It was so cheap. So I had to get a new computer to even do a video. But as soon as I did video, it was over. I'd put a video out, and within 6-7 months, I'd have, you know, I'd publish a video, and 30 minutes later, there'd be 600-700 views on it. And then the video thing went crazy. And then Google AdWords, literally the moment I heard about Google AdWords, I knew I was going to be wealthy, because someone can type something into a screen and I can intercept their conscious, their moment by moment. They're at that conscious level of thinking, typing something, and I can intercept them.
Right.
I said, this is over. So I knew I was going to make it after that. I told my wife, I said, honey, we're going to be free. Now, I didn't know what I was doing, but I eventually figured it out.
Excellent. Now, the video you made, what was it about?
That was me, just like this, and I had my little kid on me right here, Isaac, and he was just a little baby, kind of. And I said, and it was a Google ad that was for coastal vacations, and when they clicked the ad, the video came up, and it was like Gracie was here, Isaac was here, and my wife was behind me, and I just said, okay, when we press record, just say, welcome to Coastal Vacations. So everyone just said, welcome to Coastal Vacations. And I said, if you're watching this video, you're looking at Coastal Vacations, check around this website, my phone number's on it, and get back to me. I have a lot more to share. That was about it. So it was direct response.
Right.
It was direct response marketing. I think the misnomer now is a lot of people make videos to make videos, because, and that's a good, I mean, that's a good skill to get comfortable in front of the camera. But direct response is how you make a lot of money. So you got to target with the videos, and you got to do, I mean, I recommend like a paid advertising on Facebook and really targeted, because you can intercept people in their conscious thought, right?
Yes.
Within the stream where they're going, and that's where you can serve them the best.
You're saying that at the moment they're searching, they're ready, they're prepared to find something,
their
right?
Brain's already,
and that's where you have to.
Yeah, their brain's already in that direction. And so, like, I liked MLM. I thought I'd be rich in MLM, like pitching friends and family and stuff like that. And so I was in a couple of them. I was in several of them, actually. No, I was in 3 or 4. But with online, but nobody's, you know, my friends weren't in a stream of conscious thinking about anything. I interrupted them to try to pitch them something. And I was horrible at it. And I felt goofy, and I was just bad at the whole deal. But then online, I was like, I can only talk to people that want to talk to me. I will never, ever in my life, ever, under any circumstance, talk to anybody that doesn't raise their hand and want to talk to me. I will never do it ever under, and I still don't, ever. Even with my team, when I was, you know, deep in the grind on the phone calls, three-way calls, I'm like, they have to watch this 10-minute video about me and what we're doing. And if they watch that and you say, hey, I think we can get Mark on the phone, do you want to speak to him? And do you have $3,000 if you get on the phone with him ready to buy? They had to say yes to the video and yes to the $3,000, or I did not get on the phone. So I spent hours on the phone, but every time I got on the phone, I closed the $3,000 out. So I'd close 50 grand in a day on the phone. Boom, 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 hang up the phone. But I never talked to anybody that wasn't awesome. So, you know, I just, again, that's where I was at anyway. my story.
That's very interesting, because you've already kind of prerequisite the person. You know, you kind of set your criteria, which is very good for your time as well, because I think a lot of people kind of spend time with the wrong people when they're not even qualified, don't even understand what they're doing.
Yeah, when you start off, that's kind of an inevitability that you're chasing people a little bit, and you're kind of that annoying super follow-up, and you know, you start there, it's like an evolution, but in that evolution you learn how to qualify. You learn, like I tell people, by your second or third year in this industry, if you really deeply go into the hearts, you're gonna have like a doctorate in humanities, like or the human being. You're gonna know all sorts of personality types, you're gonna know all sorts of, you know, if they're tools, you're gonna be able to smell a tool, like a manipulator. You're gonna be able to just feel him, and you're not gonna want anything to do with them. And so there's a season, and just embrace whatever season everyone's in. But you know, get like, even this morning, one of the permanent thoughts that hit my thought today, or the deepest thought I've had today after my workout, was I want to get my daily interactions to about 3 people maximum.
Right.
Because the more people that need me on a daily, the slower things go. So, you know, it should be like Vince. I have another company. It should be that top person. And then it should be an admin top person. But like, I don't want, you know, so, but there was a time when the goal was to talk to 50 people a day.
Right.
Every new day, cycle through 50 new people, and that's a good season. So whatever season you're in, you know, go for it. But you know, for me, I'm literally getting to, how can I become so effective and so powerful and so to where it only takes 3 people for me to impact the world. You know,
I love that. That's absolutely inspirational.
And you know, and really, like, I'll have a Jesus product here after. Yeah, you know, I've got a Solomon David's going to be my next product, and then Jesus will be the next one. But you know, Jesus had his inner circle of 3, and then he had his outer circle of 12, and then he had an outer circle of 120. But he didn't. That was about it, you know. So I'm just swiping ancient ideas over here.
I love that, because you know, that's where the real kind of ideas are. And you know, I think we're just so not in tune with the amazing leaders that have passed, you know, we just kind of miss all that. So I'm just so pleased that you're actually into all this.
Yeah,
and I'm actually into mystics myself. You know, I've studied Rumi and all these different mystics that have passed. So tell me, Mark, as we're in this conversation, I'm going to ask you something. How powerful are we as humans? I mean, can we conquer I'm going to go really deep with you. Say that time and space, you know, we're prisoners of that, right?
Yeah.
Are we capable of reaching such a level to break that and actually make miraculous things happen?
Well, I mean, time and space, I think we can challenge the existing concepts of a lot of those things. You know, so just even time, right? Extending age. I mean, that's a big question. So I don't want to say yes all the way, because I don't know what the whole yes to you means.
Because these laws, the laws that you have actually kind of conquered in a way, and you are conquering, you know, like law of attraction, law of money. You know, these are things that people don't understand, right? But these other things, like law of, you know, the 4 elements and actually being able to kind of conquer time and space, like Jesus did, for instance. You know, he was able to, because he's so elevated in knowledge.
Now that is deep stuff. Like, can you conquer the water, the effects of a, you know, water's, you're going to sink in water. And
but understanding the law, can you do that?
I don't know. If you see me walking on water, please record. I will want that on Snapchat. You know, I don't know about on those levels. I think in my religious belief, like in my where I'm at spiritually on that, Adam and Eve, the first couple before the fall, they were sent to like take over the world, and they probably had more power than we think. And then there was a fall and some goof things happened, but then Jesus comes as a second Adam, and he has the time and space. He could disappear and reappear. He could walk on water. He could he could tell a storm to stop. So I think the destiny ultimately, and for me, it's probably more after this death, and then there's, you know, we resurrect, and then I have that stuff. So it's more on the other side for me, like that level of stuff. We are going deep, but Princess, you're the princess.
I am going deep. The only reason I went deep with you today, Mark, is because you've got this energy in you that I can feel, that you just don't stop. You know, just keep on kind of searching and searching for things. And, you know, and I just wanted to kind of just ask you this question.
Well, no, but there's... So with this stuff, though, like on a practical level, there was a dog that I was with 2 days ago. And this dog never brings the ball back to the owner. And I threw the ball...
Right.
And the dog, and the owner said, well, the dog never comes back. And I looked at the dog, and I've read some stuff on dogs, and I start snapping and pointing by my feet, calling the dog's name, and the dog actually comes up, and the owner's like, thinking I'm like a ninjutsu mind master, right? But my core belief is that we were meant to be very unified with the animals. That's just a core belief. Now, I'll be eaten by a shark and probably die in the ocean someday, but that'll be the irony of it. But I really believe that we have more power than we realize.
And what about numbers? I mean, you know, I think I should stop now because I'll probably get too deep, but numerology, you know, understanding the mathematical kind of concepts of this universe, everything's aligned beautifully and accurately. You know, just being able to understand that exists and being aware of it and studying it, do you think there's some sort of manipulation that can happen on our part?
Well, I think numbers, and I haven't gone deep into the readings of numerologies and these kind of things, but there's a lot of, like for me, you'll rarely see an info product that isn't Seven Secrets or 21, right? Because 7 is a biblical concept for completion, wholeness, and prosperity. 21 is like in the book of Daniel, on the 21st day is when he beat the dark forces in a fast. Right, so there's 21. There's, so I'm using numbers constantly.
Excellent.
Right? I'm very aware of numbers from a financial standpoint, at least. You know, but I haven't studied enough to be intelligent on that conversation.
That's beautiful. I mean, I think just understanding these little things, little details, and applying them. You are kind of, you know, attracting that kind of energy towards you to get results. So it's been an absolutely amazing conversation, Mark. I mean, I could have you here for the full 2 hours, but I'll let you go because I know you want to go golfing.
Thank you.
But, you know, a first question before my closing is that Rumi did say that you're made for a purpose and you know, that desire for the purpose has been put into each person's heart. Can I ask you to share what you feel that your purpose is in this world?
You know, when I was 14, I wrote, I'd like to show people what a life dedicated to Jesus Christ could look like. I mean, that's a little evangelical sounding or whatever. That's where I started at. And I think my purpose is to, I haven't written it down. I don't know what it is. Showing people the possibility of more, and not just more money, but more congruence with them, with what they're designed to be. Like, work in Greek is ergonomic. I mean, we get argos is where we get our word ergonomics. Ergonomics is the study of appropriate body posture, you know, and stuff that just fits the body. So your work should fit your body and your heart and your soul, and it's all one anyway, right? So for me, my purpose is first to find my own purpose and to delve deeper into what that thing is, and it's always evolving. And then as I'm finding my purpose, it's very personal for me, because as I dig into that, it seems like I'm able to unlock a lot of other people's purposes that are totally different than mine. But a lot of times they say, like, I help them with their life purpose, and I don't even know what my life purpose is, but I'm going into it. And I'm exploring what that is, and I don't know what that is. So maybe that's part of the answer, is it's mysterious and full of possibilities.
Love that. Absolutely wonderful. And as you are on the I Have a Dream show, what is a dream? Because I know that it's stuck for me, you know.
Yeah, you know, my dream, I have a lot of dreams, and a lot of them are happening every day. I mean, really, uh-huh. They are. I had a dream that I would have. I had a dream that I had a wife I'd love someday, and I wake up to a wife that almost every day, it's a pleasant experience. Like, our marriage is a pleasant, life-giving force. Every minute, no, right? But we have friends and family and stuff, and they constantly come to us, constantly, and say, you know, that's the marriage I want. Like, I mentor a bunch of young guys, and they say that that's what I want. I want that, you know? Wow. So that's a dream, and I already have it. Okay, so another one is just kids that, you know, my kids aren't perfect or anything, but they're life-giving, and mm-hmm. and they're fun, and they're challenged. They're challenging, you know, they're challenging their potential, and they're satisfying. They bring me extraordinary joy, and that was a dream I had. I wanted kids, and then I had a dream that I wanted, I didn't even want worldwide influence, but my wife suggested it about 5 years ago, that we would be worldwide, and I was like, well, what's the point? Like, who cares? And now we're worldwide, and so I have a lot of my dreams. I don't know what the next, it's just probably just developing a better deliverable for people to create better results. You know, I don't know. I'll let you know.
That's fantastic. Oh, no, absolutely. I'm going to have you on the show again in the future.
Please
when, you know, you've reached the next kind of level. But, yeah, Mark, you've been absolutely extraordinary. And, you know, it's been a huge pleasure to have you on the show today and inspire many. I'm sure to anyone that listens to the recording, you know, I'm sorry I haven't been able to take questions. I'm not very good at this kind of, I believe someone said something, but I believe everyone has the same purpose, to become the best version that we can become, but we all have different missions.
Yeah.
Yes, Mario Silva, that's amazing.
That's well said.
There.
That was well
said. But Mark, we will have to have you. And you know, I'm actually going to invite your wonderful wife as well, because she is probably a big backbone.
Yeah,
she's
incredible.
Well.
And you know, you know, that marriage is a whole nother conversation, probably. But you know, she's
absolutely.
She is truly. You know, if the truth was out there, you know, the actual truth is that her mission in a lot of ways is to invest into me, in nurturing me, in bringing me, and you know, she's satisfied in that. She loves that. And it's humbling for me to be the recipient of that. And she does her work in amazing. And if she didn't do her work the way she does it, I wouldn't be a fraction of what I'm able to do for people. So it's, you know, the two become one is really a real statement. It really is.
Absolutely beautiful. Well, thank you so much, Mark, again. And you know, guys, you're listening to this show. I'm going to take every single thing that Mark said to think about exactly what he's been saying. There's a huge message behind it. I know we've tapped on literally the surface of things, but you know, it'll give you a good insight of exactly what it takes to be successful, not only just money, but through your spiritual growth, through the contribution. I think the utter kind of fulfillment is in contribution, isn't it, Mark? From what I'm learning from you.
Well, money is extraordinarily not meant to fulfill you. You can't, like, it's not even, that's not its purpose.
Yeah.
So if you try to think like money will fulfill, it's not going to work anyway. So it's fool's gold for a lot of people. However, we live in an economic universe that you can't escape. That's just the design. There's an economic layer on it, and there's no escaping it. And people who try to escape it, they can't, it doesn't exist. So I think a lot of the vision that I have is to bring as much reality in the layers of what's unavoidable and learn to thrive in that, right? Learn to thrive in the way that it is, not the way we wish it was, or this or that or the other thing. So contribution is huge, but you know, there's people that think they are contributing and they're down. Right. They don't have any energy. They feel like they're pouring their heart out for their team, and they're not getting thanked. And so they're contributing, and they think that's the answer, because sometimes we say that's the answer, and it's part of the answer. But, you know, you've got to – it's like Jim Rohn says, you know, I'll take care of me, for you, and you take care of you for me.
Right? I love that.
Because you're doing your game, and so you're actually able to serve me today and bring me energy, and I appreciate it, and I receive it, and I thank you. And I'm able to be, I cared for myself this morning, so I was able to care for you guys today, as best I could, anyway.
You know. That's amazing. Absolutely amazing. I really don't want you to go, Mark. But
I know, I'm having a good time. Well, hopefully, well, Princess, hopefully we meet somewhere, you know, something, I don't know. Where are you at? Where are you at?
I'm in UK, so anytime you're in UK, please.
We've been talking about doing a London event, so
that would be absolutely amazing. I'll be the first one there.
Awesome. All right. Well, thank you so much. Thank you so much,
Mark, and have a blessed day. Thank you so much. Be in touch with
Shannon with the recording and stuff like that, and everybody who's listening. Thank you so much for the patronage over the years and listening today, and you know, the richest blessings to you guys.
Absolutely wonderful. Well, there you go, guys. It's been an absolutely amazing show. And, you know, guys, share this with people that you know as well. Go over the recording, listen to it again, and apply whatever Mark's saying. Because knowledge is one thing, but if you kind of don't apply it, then it's just kind of trapped. You know, you need to kind of go out and take the action on whatever advice you're given today. And dream big, guys. Never, ever, ever shortfall on your dreams. You know, dream big. Take even bigger action to achieve those dreams. And so I can get you onto the show so I can share your dreams with the audience. So thank you very much. Have a wonderful day. Thank you, Mark.
See ya.
Hey, it's Princess Fizz again. I hope you found this show extremely, extremely valuable. Do like and comment and leave a review for this show. And don't forget to subscribe and share with your friends, whoever it will benefit. Go to ihaveadreamshow.com/shows if you want to watch the video recording of this show. And leave a comment, write to me. I'd love to hear from my listeners about any suggestions, any takeaways that you had, any suggestions for improvements, and make sure that you sign up to the newsletter as well so you don't miss another episode and you get notified by email. I love you loads. Dream big, chase those dreams, make them a reality so I can bring you onto the I Have a Dream show and share your unique journey with the world.